We're holding on page 74 in Yoma, fourth line, middle of Oris Aden Bays. We started learning about different opinions of Tanoim, fourth line from the top, yeah, Omar Rava. So we learned about the different Tanoim talk about different sources in Torah, different sources in Psukim or in Lamudim from Psukim, that we learn the concept that Pikuach Nefesh is Dorcha Shabbos and most other mitzvahs. We had several different ones. We had Rabbi Shmuel, we had Rabbi Akiva, we had Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, we had Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda, we had Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, and then we had an Amoda. We had that Shmuel said that I would have said the best of all is because it says V'chai b'hem, implying that you should live through mitzvahs, v'lo shiyom v'sbehem, and not that you should die through them. So therefore, we have the exceptions. We have the cases where a person is obligated to go on Mesiras Nefesh, which we've learned before, how exactly we learn those from Be'ahav Be'as Hashem Alekecha, and from the case of the Naira Marosa and the Reitzeach. But other than that, yeah. So Omar Rava, L'kulu Islahu Pircha. All of the ones that we mentioned from the Tanoim, there's a way of slogging up each one of them. Bar Midah Shmuel, the less like Pircha. With the exception of Shmuel's, there's no way to slog it up. Let's go through. Did Rabbi Shmuel, how did Rabbi Shmuel learn that Pikuach Nefesh is Dorcha most mitzvahs? Because he said, you have a case in Parshas Mishpatim where a ganav is breaking into a house, and the pasuk says that you're allowed to kill him. Now, that guy is not necessarily coming to kill. It's only a suffet, because he only is coming for money after all. And we see how serious murder is. You have these days in Rambam Shlosha Prakim about how serious it is, and yet the Torah allows you to do it for that purpose. So how much more so that Pikuach Nefesh should override Shabbos and other mitzvahs? However, Rava is saying, nevertheless, Duma Kedirava. Maybe we could explain the reason why the Torah allows you to kill the Baba Machteres is based on another point that Rava says. Da'amar Rava, my time of the Machteres, why indeed are you allowed to kill a Baba Machteres? On the face of it, shouldn't you just tell him, shouldn't you just be required to let him take whatever he wants rather than now? The reason is chazaka, ain't on a mamid atzma al mamonai. We have a chazaka, a person is not going to hold himself back when his money is at stake. So to begin with, the Torah doesn't expect a balabas to hold himself back to the extent that he's going to just let the guy take whatever he wants. The ganav knows that full well. He knows that the balabas, that there's a chazaka, that the balabas is going to stand up against him. But Omar, so the ganav thinks to himself, if the balabas tries to stand up against me and protect his property, katil nale, I will kill him. Well, therefore, now we know the Torah does say that if someone is coming to kill you, then go kill him first. So therefore, so that's a special case. Therefore, so it's not a matter of so it's not a matter of a suffix. It's a vaday, pretty much. And therefore, v'ashkechan vaday suffix manolon. So that would all be very well to show that in a case where there's a vaday danger to life, that you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos or to kill or to do whatever it is that it takes. Where do we see that? In the case of a suffix, the whole point we're trying to establish over here is you have, for example, a person is very sick or is trapped under rubble or whatever, and you don't know whether being mechal Shabbos is actually going to save his life, or the modern equivalent, somebody has a heart attack or a stroke or whatever, and you call Hatzalah for him. Is he necessarily going to come through? Not necessarily. You can't learn that from Rabbi Shmuel's case. Dear Rabbi Akiva Nami. What about as far as Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva had learned a whole thing involving where we say that a Kohen who's in the middle of doing the Avodah, we tell him to interrupt the Avodah if he's needed in order to give Eidos for Dinin Nefoshes. So you have a case, somebody is being judged in a Beis Din for Dinin Nefoshes, and you know that the Kohen knows Eidos that could save the guy, then we tell him, interrupt your avoida and come testify in Beis Din in order to get the guy exonerated. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, so you see, if it even overrides avoida, how much more so Shabbos, seeing as how we see that the avoida itself overrides Shabbos. Still, maybe not. Duma kedam baya. Maybe we can explain the situation similar to what Abaya says. Du'amar Abaya. Now you have a similar kind of case where we have the possibility that somebody may say something that exonerates a person. Namely, you have a case, the person himself is being taken out to be executed, and we say there can always be, at some point, he comes up with some logical argument that should cause Beis Din to reevaluate the case. So what do we do? So now the Mishnah in Sanhedrin describes how they had a whole system over there. They had flagmen and they had a person on a horse and so on and so forth. So that if the guy says, as he's being taken out to be executed, that if he says that I have something to say to speak in my defense, then immediately they send messengers and they have him brought back to Beis Din so they can hear what he says. But Abaya says, I mean, we can't do that every time, no matter what kind of silliness the guy is going to say. Masrin and Lezuga de Rabbanon. What we do, we have two Talmid Chachamim accompany the person who's going out to be executed later in Yesh Mamash Bidvarav. They're going to evaluate whether what he's going to be saying is something that's going to actually make a difference. If he Stam says, for example, let's say, you know, you can't execute me because I regret what I did, or you can't execute me because, you know, I have children that I have to take care of, or whatever, then the Talmid Chacham are going to tell him, I'm sorry, Rav Yid, that's not a valid enough thing. We're not going to bring you back to Beis Din for that. If he says, I have a proof because I can demonstrate that I did it b'shogeg, for example, or I can demonstrate that the Edim are possible, or what have you, then so the Zuga de Rabbanon will have the job of evaluating his claims. Well, the same way, says Rava, you could say the same thing over here. When we're talking about in having a Kohen interrupt the Avoda, we don't mean that Stam, every time we have reason to think that the Kohen knows something, we're going to immediately have him interrupt the Avoda. We're going to send along a couple of Talmid Chachamim, let them hear him out. They'll tell him, we hear Rav Yid, we hear Rav Kohen, we hear that you have something to say on the subject. What is it? He tells them. They'll evaluate on the spot. Is this something that's likely to make a difference in the case? And then based on that, then they'll take him to Beis Din. So therefore, v'ashkachan vaday. So again, we have more of a reason to say it's a vaday once what he's going to be saying has been vetted by the two Talmid Chachamim, then we have much more of a reason to say that what he's going to say is vaday going to help the person who's about to be condemned. Safek menolon. Where would we know in the case of a safek? V'kulu ashkachan vaday safek menolon. When we go through the other ones as well, we have Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah learns from the fact that you can do bris milah on Shabbos, and bris milah affects one aver of a person, so how much more so the whole body? Again, fine. So vaday milah, we know when there's a vaday milah that has to be done on the eighth day, then it's doicha Shabbos. Where do we see from that suffik pikuach nefesh is doicha Shabbos? When you had the expression Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef brought, when Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda brought a pasuk that says ach es shabsoisai tishmoru, where ach cholak, the word ach distinguishes and says sometimes yes and sometimes not. Fine, the sometimes would be in the case of vaday, not necessarily in the case of a suffik. Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef had said, Masura hi lachem, v'lai atam masurim biyad. Shabbos is given to you, you're not given over to Shabbos, meaning that your life overrides Shabbos. Fine, with a vada, yes, suffik, not necessarily. Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh's, the Torah says, break one Shabbos for him so you can keep many Shabbosim. Fine, vada, yes, suffik, not necessarily. So all of them, we can slug up by showing that not necessarily can we prove from that you would be mechal Shabbos for suffik of pikuach nefesh. But Shmuel's, there's clearly no way of slugging it up, because what does he say? It has to be that mitzvahs are being done in a way where the person will definitely live. There won't even be a suffix that he could possibly die from it. Therefore, that's a strong one. There we go. We see that even if there's a suffix, then we override Shabbos. So Ravina, or some say Rav Nachman Yitzchok, says this is like the expression Tava Pchoda Pilpalta Harifa. One sharp peppercorn is better than Miloit Sana Dekori, more than a basketful of pumpkins. Meaning the Tanoim compared to a peppercorn is a tiny little thing compared to the giant pumpkins. So the same way the Tanoim are on a much higher level than the Amora Shmuel, and yet the one sharp Talmid Chacham Shmuel is like a tiny little peppercorn. His argument outweighs all the ones from all the great Tanoim that came before him. And in the end, that's what we say. It's on that basis that we say that we're Mechal Shabbos, and we're Mechal Shabbos in most other mitzvahs, even where it's only Suffolk B'Korach Nefesh. The Mishnah now deals with, at the end of the Masechta, so now we've been going through the Avodah of Yom Kippur, we've been going through the Dinim of Yom Kippur, now let's talk about the Kapara of Yom Kippur. How does it work exactly? So the Mishnah says, Chatas for Oshem Vada Mechaprin. When a person brings a Korban Chatas, or when a person brings an Oshem Vadai, where you have the various cases, Asham Zelos, Asham Me'ilos, etc. So those Mechaprin, those are Mechaper for the person did an Aveda, so those are Mechaper for him. You have also Oshem Tolui. That's something else that the Gemara deals with. We don't have it here in Ein Yaakov, but the Gemara discusses what exactly is the role of an Oshem Tolui in this. Misav Yom Kippurim Mechaprin Imatshuva. As far as when a person dies or when a person goes through Yom Kippur, those are Mechaper together with Tshuva. So in other words, a person does Tshuva and then the person a person goes through Yom Kippur and does tshuva, or a person dies and does tshuva before he dies, those things are mechaper. Now we're going to bring in the Gemara over here an opinion that actually says that an opinion of Rebbe that says that Yom Kippur is mechaper even without tshuva. So Tosfos Yeshanim over here discusses a few possibilities. Maybe when the Mishnah says over here im hatshuva, first of all, on the face of it, im hatshuva implies like Yom Kippur is secondary to the tshuva. But is that necessarily the case? So Tosfos Yeshanim discusses a couple of possibilities. One of them being that maybe it means im hatshuva, meaning when he did tshuva beforehand. Misa is not automatically mechaper. It has to be that he did tshuva beforehand. Yom Kippur is not automatically mechaper. It has to be that he did tshuva beforehand, according to the Tana of our Mishnah. That's why people say vidri before they pass away. Yeah, and then Tosfos Yeshanim brings a couple of other possibilities as well. Anyway, continues the Mishnah. Tshuva mechaperas al averas kalus al esev al loisese. Tshuva by itself is mechaper for lighter averas, which means eses and loiseses. And we'll see a little bit in the Gemara what kind of loiseses are we talking about. Val chamures, as far as the more serious, as far as the more stringent averas, hu toila, then tshuva suspends the person's punishment ad sheyavo yom kippurim v'yichaper, until Yom Kippur comes along, and then he gets complete kapara. So Yom Kippur by itself, so the Tanna Kamma over here is saying Yom Kippur all by itself does not have the power of kapara. There has to be tshuva with it as well. And again, we're going to see in the Gemara that maybe our Mishnah disagrees with Rebbe, who says that Yom Kippur by itself would be enough. So the Gemara says, when we say misav Yom Kippur mechaper matshuva imat tshuva ein, so the implication seems to be only together with tshuva do they help. It sounds like just doing tshuva by itself is not. It sounds like just misa or just Yom Kippurim by itself is not enough. There has to be tshuva. In that case, neima deloy kareb. Does that mean that we have to say that our Mishnah is not like Rebbe? First of all, Rebbe himself composed the Mishnayos, of course, so we would rather say that whatever we have in the Mishnah follows him. But in general, most often we want to say that a Stam Mishnah goes according to everybody. We prefer, as much as possible, not to have to say that a Mishnah is only according to some opinions. Because the Stam Mishnah, by rights, it should be according to everybody. So, D'tanya, Rebbe Omer, Al kol averus shebat Torah, bein osa tshuva, bein lo osa tshuva. Rebbe says, for any averus in the Torah, whether the person does tshuva or whether he doesn't, Yom HaKippurim mechaper, Yom Kippur by itself is mechaper, Rebbe is saying, even without tshuva. Chutz mipurek oil, with the following exception, the person purek oil, he throws off the yoke of Hashem. So Rashi says, "Koyfer baKadosh Baruch Hu." He denies Hashem. There are the Sheiltis brings instead a different girsa, not Purik oil, but rather loya gal chaveroi. A person mocks a fellow yid. The second one is megal umegalaponim batorah. The second one for which Rebbe is saying Yom Kippur by itself is not enough is megalaponim batorah, which means when megalaponim means he uncovers his face, means he acts in a chutzpahdik way towards the Torah. Rashi gives the example, the famous example of Menashe Melech Yehuda, where he would make fun of things in the Torah that he would say, did Moshe not have anything better to do than to write these seemingly meaningless things in the Torah? That's called megalaponim batorah. And the third one who made for bris basar, and the third one would be where he's made for, he abolishes the bris of the flesh, meaning milah. So either it means one of two things. Either it means that he fails to get a bris milah altogether, and we're not talking about, in other words, where, for example, obviously we can't for health reasons or whatever. We're talking about a person who knows what bris milah is and is perfectly capable of having one, and he decides it's not something that I need to have. Or there's another concept called moshech or losoi, which is where a person has had a bris milah and then he stretches the skin to cover it to make it look as though he did not have a bris milah. Both of those are included in mefer bris basar. So we're saying those two, Yom Kippur by itself is not, even Rebbe agrees that Yom Kippur by itself is not mechaper for those. Rashi refers to this Gemara and Shavuos that learns from Psukim why dafka these three things. The Maral says a vort on it that you have. There's a purik oil means that he's breaking this connection with Hashem. Mefer bris basar is he's breaking his connection with mitzvahs, and then you have megalaponim batorah, which is in between, where he's breaking his connection with Torah, which is the intermediary between those. So that's why those things are treated more seriously than anything else. Anyway, the point is, again, that the point... So that's what we're saying. So Rebbe is saying that if he doesn't do tshuva, just Yom Kippur by itself is not going to be mechaper for those things. Well, on the face of it, our Mishnah is saying that misav Yom Kippur mechaper im hatshuva, meaning that the Mishnah is saying that you actually need tshuva. Yom Kippur by itself is not going to be mechaper for any avera. So not just these three that Rebbe mentioned, but any other ones. So then, in that case, how are we working it then? It seems that our Mishnah does not go according to Rebbe. Which again, fine. If we have to say that, we have to say that. But we would definitely prefer not to have to do that. So the answer is no. Afilu tema Rebbe. You could even say that our Mishnah does go like Rebbe, because Rebbe would say tshuva boya yom kippurim, yom kippurim le boya tshuva. The difference is Rebbe would say if you're doing tshuva, that's not enough. You need also yom kippur to complete the kapara for various kinds of averas, etc. in the Mishnah. But yom kippur, Rebbe says, does not require tshuva. It's enough for many kinds of averus, with the exception of the three that he said, that Yom Kippur all by itself would be mechaper without even tshuva. And the idea behind that is there's a sicha in Chelek Dalet, there's various other based on earlier things in Chassidus. The idea is that in Yom Kippur you have this expression, the Gemara says, "Tzuma shel yoy mechaper," the very day of Yom Kippur itself is mechaper. And there's the idea because on Yom Kippur we're connected with Hashem on the most ultimate level, on the level of Yechida, and at that level there's no room even for averus to talk about. We learned earlier in the Masechta that on that day the Satan doesn't even have any power. So therefore, that's why Rebbe would say that Yom Kippur all by itself has a power to be mechaper on a person, because it brings the person to a high, because on Yom Kippur the person is on a higher level, where now he's on a level beyond any concept of mitzvahs or averus. There are various mefoshim that talk about different angles on that. Actually, the Meiri says it's not really so much. Even Rebbe is not saying that Yom Kippur all by itself, if the person stam treats Yom Kippur as a regular day, then that's not going to help him. What we mean is, in other words, normally a yid on Yom Kippur, he feels a tremendous, it's oris truva, he feels a tremendous upwelling of his neshama that he doesn't the rest of the year. And therefore, that's going to be able to be mechaper for him. Practically speaking, he feels that kind of feeling on Yom Kippur, and therefore that's going to be mechaper for him, because he's going to do tshuva in a much more intense way than he would any other time during the year. But of course, if he were to actually reach that level of tshuva some other time during the year, then sure, of course it would help. So again, Tosfos Yeshanim points out a couple of possibilities. That one thing is that the Tana of the Mishnah might be saying that you need, when you have tshuva and then you have Yom Kippur, the combination of the two together helps to clean up the avera. Together. But Rebbe would be saying that Yom Kippur by itself is enough, and the Chacham say only if there was tshuva beforehand. Or another possibility, Tosfos Yeshanim says, is that when the Mishnah says im hatshuva, primarily we're referring to misa. Misa by itself would not be mechaper without tshuva, which is why you said, like people before they pass away, they say vidu. As opposed to the Tana of our Mishnah, if we're saying that our Mishnah can be made to agree with Rebbe, would hold Yom Kippur all by itself is enough to accomplish a kapara. And then Tosfos Yeshanim says a third possibility, that Yom Kippur will help to take away kores. It's still not going to accomplish kapara gmura. It's still not going to accomplish a full-fledged kapara unless he does tshuva. After all, and Tosfos Yeshanim says, even Rebbe would have to agree to that. The fact is, otherwise you're going to ask, how did the Beis HaMikdash ever get destroyed? I mean, you have people were doing averus, but if we're saying, according to Rebbe, that Yom Kippur cleans up almost all averus, then how is it that the Averus persisted and the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? You have to say, Tosfos Yeshanim says in their third answer that it must be that Yom Kippur, all it does is it takes away kores, but nevertheless, for kapara gmura, even Rebbe agrees that you need tshuva. Ben Adam HaChaveiro. Also, that's another consideration, right? But especially the first Beis HaMikdash, the Averus weren't all Ben Adam HaChaveiro. Abba Dezora is not Ben Adam HaChaveiro. Gili Arayis is sort of Bein Adam HaChaveiro, Shvichos Damim, fine is, but still, you know, earlier in the Masechta, we learned that it took all three of them to cause the Churban Bayis Rishon. So yeah. I mean, there is quite a bit of discussion more about different angles on this. For example, was an... What?
Well,
Shvich Zamim is definitely Ben on Machaber. Arayas is sort of a little bit of both, really, because it depends what kind of Arayas we're talking about. If we're talking about an Eish Ish, for example, he asks the her and her husband to each other. So in that case, that has a Ben on Machaber component. Mashenkin, if we're talking about, for example, with a relative, then there's not necessarily a Ben on Machaber component in it. But yeah. So the Gemara continues, when we say Shuvah Machaperes al Averes Kalis al Esev al Loisese, so the Mishnah is telling us that Shuvah is Machaper for the lighter Averes, for Eses and for Loisese. The question is, why does the Mishnah need to say that? Hashta al Loisese Machaperes. If Shuvah is Machaper even for a Loisese, and Loisese says we consider it to be more severe. Now we're going to quote soon in the Gemara the famous thing about Abba Chalukei Kapara, about the different divisions of types of Kapara, which the Alter Rebbe mentions and discusses at the beginning of Igeres HaTshuvah, where the Alter Rebbe explains over there, in one way Eses are more serious, but in the other way Loisese are more serious. Here the Gemara is focusing on, here the Gemara is taking the view that the Loisese are more serious. Because an Ese, what does it mean a person failed to do an Ese? Means he was lazy, basically. He didn't do something that he shouldn't have. That's much less serious than actively violating what Hashem said. Hashem said, don't do this, and he went and did that. So therefore, that's considered much more severe. In terms of the Ur that you could bring down, the Alter Rebbe points out over there that failure to do a mitzvah saseh is lacking Ur in the world, and therefore, in that sense, it's a more serious thing. But in terms of the consequences, a loisese is much more severe. And we see many loiseses have one or another kind of punishment. Out of 365 loiseses, 207, no less, involve malchus, some of which is like about two-thirds of the total. Within that, some of them are chayiv of other things as well. Whereas an esse, there's almost no esses that involve any kind of punishment. Pesach and Mila are the two major exceptions. But that's what we're saying. That the fact is, the Alter Rebbe himself explains on that first page of Igeres HaTshuvah, that the fact is, in terms of the punishment, in terms of the consequences, Aloysese is much more severe. So that's what the Gemara is asking. If the Mishnah is telling us that Yom Kippur is Mechaper, that Shuvah and Yom Kippur are Mechaper, that Shuvah rather is Mechaper even for Loisese says, how much more so it's Mechaper for Eses. So why does the Mishnah even need to tell us that? Because after all, that's the point. Even the Alter Rebbe stresses over there, when you say that Shuvah is Mechaper for an Eses, the fact is, the Alter Rebbe says, still ha'ur nedar. No matter what shuvah the person does, the fact is he's not bringing down that ur that should have been brought down. That can't be done, or that can't be fixed up. But here we're talking about as far as kapara, that he should be forgiven for the fact that he disobeyed Hashem. Aloysius says a much more severe thing. So then why does the Mishnah even need to mention Eses at all? Say that Shuvah is Mechaper for Alois Eseh, and we understand to the extent that it's Mechaper even for an Eseh as well, which after all didn't involve him actively violating what Hashem says. So the answer is, Amar of Yehuda Hachikamer, Al Eseh V'Alois Eseh Shenitak L'Eseh. What the Mishnah means when it says that Shuvah by itself is Mechaper for Eses and for Loiseses, it means not all kinds of Loiseses. It means Eses as well as a Loisese Shenitak La'ese. Namely, we have many mitzvahs where the Torah tells us, don't do this, but if you did this, then do something else to make up for it. For example, don't leave over from the Korban Pesach, but if you did, then burn the Noiser. Don't steal, but if you did, Veheshev Esagzela. Don't take the mother bird together with the babies, but if you did, shalayach the shalach haseim, and so forth. There's a whole bunch of mitzvahs that are like that, where the Torah tells you, the Torah combines it together with the mitzvah, nitak, like it's pulled away from being a normal loisese, and becomes like a sort of lesser loisese, in the sense that the Torah is giving you a way to fix up what you did. So that's what the Mishnah is saying, that those kinds of loiseses are the kind where tshuva by itself is enough to be mechaper for it. So the Gemara asks, "Va loisese gomer loy?" So you're telling me for a full-fledged loisese, tshuva by itself is not enough. The kind that's not nitek la'ese, the kind where the Torah says, "Don't do something," and if you did it, you don't have an esse to fix it up. Or a mini. I have a contradiction though. A braisa says, "Elu hein kalis." What are the definition of mitzvahs kalis of our Mishnah? Means esse v'loisese chutz mi loisisa, with the exception of the mitzvah of loisisa shem Hashem lekecha lashav. So we see, therefore, that most loisese says are also in the category of mitzvahs kalas according to that definition. And the answer is no. It means loisisa v'chod dami. It doesn't mean only loisisa. It means other mitzvahs that are like loisisa in the sense where they were full-fledged loisisa. A person was noisa shem Hashem alakach alashav. There's no esse that he can do to undo that. The same way, other loisisa says, where there's no esse to undo it, then those are in the same category. The reason why we're mentioning loisisa specifically is because the Gemara goes on with a piece that learns from the words v'nake, lo yinake, that you have in the Yud Gomid HaSarachmim, that such averas are not completely cleaned up by tshuva alone. So therefore, the Gemara, therefore the Braisa uses loisisa not to say it's exclusively that one, but to say that's the most perfect example of a loisisa, which is not cleaned up by tshuva alone. You need Yom Kippur as well, but there were others as well. In fact, Marsha brings over here that Rashi in Shavuos, when it talks about this, talks about that actually what it would mean is that loisisa itself, even the person does tshuva, he's still necessarily going to have to get some kind of punishment in order for the avera to be completely cleaned up. Marsha says that no, from our sugya, it's not mashma like that. What we're saying is, if he doesn't do tshuva, then it's not going to help. But tshuva together with Yom Kippur will be fully mechaper and take away even any necessity for punishment. So the Gemara says, Toshma, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a kosher, and we lois sisa, we'll mata, shuva machaperes. Rabbi Yehuda says that anything that's below lois sisa in severity, then tshuva by itself is mechaper. Miloi sisa or lamaila tshuva toil of yama kippurim mechaper. Anything from loi sisa and higher than tshuva suspends his punishment and Yom Kippur forgives him completely. And again, the Gemara answers it means loi sisa. But hold the dummy lay doesn't just mean loi sisa. It means any other averas that are in the same category as loi sisa. So he doesn't just mean anything above loi sisa. In other words, loi sisa is something which would be chayav malchus. So it doesn't just mean, in other words, what things that are above that, things where a person would be chayav koris or misabid. Shemayim or Mrs. Bastin or what have you. It means also things on the same level as loisisa, things that are chayav malchus and which are a loisisa that are not nitek la'ese, those are the kind where tshuva by itself is not enough. He needs Yom Kippur as well. And the Gemara brings in this connection. So the Gemara goes on. There's a piece that's missing over here from Ein Yaakov, which you have in the Gemara, that discusses more on a halacha angle of it, exactly how we learn this whole concept about the different categories of loisisa. And the Gemara brings in that connection, the pasuk v'nake lo yinake, and so it says Tanya Rabbi Eliezer Omer ef shalom v'nake. You can't say that it means v'nake that Hashem will clean up the avera completely. Tzarkan nema lo yinake, because the next words on the pasuk are lo yinake. Hashem will not clean up completely. Now, on a pshat level, it just means, in other words, the same way as the Torah says, double expressions like that a lot of times, hoshiv teshibim, hokim tokim, and many other such expressions. So on the basic pshat level, v'nake, lo yinake, means that as far as cleansing, Hashem will not completely cleanse. But still, I mean, the context over here was we're talking about the Yud Gomor Midas HaRachamim. So it has to mean that Hashem is going to cleanse to some degree, but what does it mean? After all, then what does it mean? Then lo yinake, then it means that Hashem won't cleanse completely. So Kate Hoketzad, Menaka hula shovim, but in a menaka, shein and shovim means Hashem will fully clean up for people who do tshuva, but not for people who do not. So therefore, it is one of the midas harachmim that Hashem is willing to, the person does tshuva, that Hashem will take away the avera because of it, but on the other hand, v'lo yinake, but on the other hand, that if he doesn't, so the Rif over here explains what it means is if yinake, if the person himself cleans and works to clean himself up from the avera by doing tshuva, then Hashem will reciprocate and yinake and clean him up that he shouldn't have to suffer any punishment. But if lo yinake, if he doesn't clean himself up and he fails to do tshuva, then lo yinake, then Hashem is not going to clean up, and there's going to have to be, as the pasuk continues, poked avo novas albonim, etc. So the Gemara says, "Shol Rab Masya ben Chorash as Rab Elazar ben Azariah beruim." Rab Masya ben Chorash asked Rab Elazar ben Azariah in the city of Rome. We find in a Gemara in Sanhedrin and in some other places that Rab Masya ben Chorash was the Rosh Yeshiva in the city of Rome. There was a Jewish community at that time in the city of Rome. There had been, we find in other historical sources, we find that there had been one already from the middle years of the second Beis Hamikdash. So Rab Masya ben Chorash, who was of the generation of the Tanoim, he's of the same generation as the Talmidim of Reb Akiva primarily. We find him talking with Reb Shimon and Reb Yossi and the Chachamim of that generation. But here he asked Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah years earlier when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had visited the city of Rome. We have things that we're discusses about there was a story, there was a couple of stories involving Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Yeshua going to Rome. So this was on one of those occasions. He asked him the following story. He asked him the following question. Shamaita dalet chaluki kapora shohir bishmal dorish. Have you heard of the three categories of kapora? Have you heard of the three categories of kapora that Rabbi Shmuel would darshan? Omalei, so Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah answers him. There's not four, actually. There's three. Omalei shloishahein utshuva im kol echad v'echad. There are actually not four. There are actually three, and each one goes together with tshuva. Now he is in fact going to list four. So then, in that case, the question becomes: so why is he saying there were only three? Marsha explains, based on a Yerushalmi, that it means that the first category is going to be ones where tshuva by itself is enough. So therefore, so that's not counted among the three. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah doesn't count it as one of the in the enumeration, because all of them are going to require tshuva. So therefore, so that one is like tshuva is like the baseline. All of them need to be based on tshuva. And if not, then none of them work. So therefore, there's no reason to count tshuva as a separate. Therefore, there's no reason to count tshuva as a separate thing. So that's one way of looking at it. On the other hand, the Sefer Akedas Yitzchak explains the other way around. Of the four that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is going to list, and he's saying it's only three. The fourth one is going to be Chilul Hashem, which, as we're going to go on to say, can only be niskapo completely when the person passes away. So we're not focusing on that because we want to focus only on the ones that apply while a person is alive. There's a sicha in Chelik Yud Zayin, actually, where the Rebbe discusses this whole point in great detail and why it is when the Alter Rebbe brings this in at the beginning of the Geras HaTshuva Taka, he quotes Shloisha Chalukei Kapora, and he doesn't even mention the one over there about the fourth one about Chilul Hashem, that's only Miskaper when the person passes away, because the Rebbe explains in the sicha that the Alter Rebbe, after all, in the Geras HaTshuva, is out to teach us about the methods that a person needs to do tshuva, to be completely forgiven and be back in Hashem's good graces. So there's no point there mentioning something which anyway he's going to have to wait until after he passes away. And then the Rebbe goes on to connect this whole thing about three versus four on a deeper level with the four olamos, the four chalukei kapara that we're saying over here correspond to the Rebbe discusses to the four olamos abya. So there's two ways of looking at it. We could be leaving out atzilus because it's not an olam like the other ones and focusing only on bia, which therefore that would correspond to the three that we're going to mention, the one where you need tshuva plus yom kippur, the one where he needs tshuva plus yom kippur plus yisurin, and the one where he needs tshuva plus yom kippur plus Yisurin plus Misa, which would be Chilul Hashem. So that would correspond to the three lower worlds of Biyah. Or you could look at it the other way around. So that would be according to Marsha's Pshat. Or you could look at it the other way around, according to the Akedah's Pshat, that we're leaving out the lowest one. We're only focusing on the higher three worlds. We're leaving out Olam HaAsiya because we're dealing with things that are higher than our world. So two different ways of explaining why Rav Masya ben Chodosh thinks that there are four, and Rabbi Shmuel tells him that there are three, and then in the end he enumerates four. And there's also a vert on it that why Davka is the stress on the point that he asked the question in Rome. So Iyun Yaakov points out over here because you have Eretz Yisrael alone has a certain ability to bring kapara of chippur ad mosei amai. Therefore, the question can only be asked in Rome in Chutz La'aretz. That what are the chalukei kapara? So he says like this: the first one, over adam on mitzvahs esse va'asa tshuva, a person was over on a mitzvahs esse and he did tshuva, moichlin loy miyad, he's forgiven right away. Or the other girsa, ene zoz mishamat shemoichlin loy, he doesn't move away from there before he's forgiven. Shenema, and on that the pasuk says, shuvu bonim shovavim, Hashem says, return you stubborn children, erpa meshuvay seichem, I will heal your stubbornness. So in other words, the implication is that there's the kind of Avera where all you need is tshuva, all you need is shuvu, and right away erpa. Now, the pasuk, of course, doesn't specify what kind of Avera that is, but logically, we would understand that it means the one that's the least serious, which is failing to do a mitzvah saseh, because again, like we said before, the Alter Rebbe explains there in a Geras HaTshuva, when it comes to the actual violation of what Hashem said, a loy saseh is more serious than an esseh, in terms of the failing to bring the failing to do an esseh is more serious, but in terms, that you can't make up anyway, but in terms of getting back into Hashem's good graces, for that a loy saseh is is worse. So therefore, so this one, it's more logical, is referring to S's. Marshall points out also what you can have is, you can have, let's say, imagine you have a person who eats, but he doesn't work. So eventually he's going to get sick from not working off what he eats. So therefore, so we're saying that here we have a person who he's eating, but he's not working to do mitzvah saseh, which require actual action. So therefore, we're saying erpa. Hashem is saying, as soon as you do tshuva, I'll heal it as if like now the effect of that overeating that you had that made you sick is immediately going to go away. Therefore, we understand that pasuk is referring to failure to do a mitzvah saseh. Then you have, he continues, over adam mitzvahs loisaseh v'asa tshuva. Now, if a person violates a loisaseh, and then he does tshuva, tshuva tolev yom kippur mechaber. Tshuva suspends his punishment for the time being, and yom kippur is completely mechaber. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, ki vayom hazeh yechaper aleichem l'tahar eschem. On this day, he will make kapara. Hashem will atone for you to purify you. So therefore, again, we learn that there's some kind of avera, that tshuva is not enough, you need yom kippur. Logically, that's going to be the next more serious kind of avera, which is a loisaseh. Marsha explains also another way of understanding it is because since the pasuk is saying lifnei Hashem titoru, it means only if you cleanse yourself before Hashem by doing tshuva, only then. So when is Yom Kippur going to be mechaper? Only when also lifnei Hashem titoru that you've cleansed yourself by doing tshuva as well. And again, we said before maybe even Rebbe agrees with that. Or we said that maybe not. Maybe Rebbe says that Yom Kippur all by itself, even without Tshuva, is Mechaper. But here, this Brai says, not going like that. Next. Over Odomar Krisis or Mrs. Bastin v'asa Tshuva. What if a person was over on something that's Chayev Koris or something that's Chayev Mrs. Bastin and v'asa Tshuva, and he does Tshuva? Then Tshuva v'yem Kippurim Tolin, Tshuva plus Yom Kippur are all, they suspend his punishment, v'yisurin memarkin. But there still need to be yisurin to cleanse, to clean up what happened to his neshama because of that. Shenema, as you find the pasuk, for kadti b'shevet pisham v'gomer, Hashem says there are certain kinds of averus. I'll remember and I'll punish the averus with a stick. So again, they're the stick representing yisurin. So again, we understand that there's some kind of avera that requires yisurin. And again, the logical thing is to assume that that's a more serious avera. And the Alter Rebbe goes on to discuss over there that you shouldn't think it means Yisurim that the person takes on himself. It means Yisurim that Hashem brings on the person in order to show that Hashem loves him and wants to clean him up. But then the person may choose also as an additional thing to accept certain Yisurim on himself as the equivalent of a Korban Oila. And the Alter Rebbe goes on to discuss that whole point in the first three Perakim of the Geres HaTshuva. Then the Braisa, then Rabbi Shmuel finishes off. But a person who is guilty of chilul Hashem, tshuva by itself is not enough to suspend anything. Yom Kippur is not enough, even with tshuva, to be mechaper. Yisurin doesn't have the ability to clean it up completely. Elakulon tolin. Rather, all three of those things together suspend his punishment, umisa mamarekes, and only when he dies, only then will the punishment be cleaned up. Shenema, as the pasuk says, v'niglo v'ozno Hashem tzvakos, the Navi says that it was revealed in my ears that Hashem says, im yichupar o'ven azel lochem ad temusin v'gomer, if, meaning it will not be, the savera will not be cleaned up for you until you die. So therefore, again, we understand there's some kind of avera that requires the person to die for complete kapara, and the logic is that it's going to be the most serious avera. Marsha says we can also derive it from the context of the psukim, because right before that, the psukim describe, you have people who are saying that the Nevi'im are coming and warning us, the big deal, they're feasting and they're being happy, they're eating and drinking and saying, you know what, we're going to eat and drink tomorrow, we're going to die anyway, we don't have to pay any attention to what the Nevi'im are saying. So therefore, that's a chilul Hashem, and therefore, we understand from the context that the Navi is saying that kind of chilul Hashem, then, it actually requires the person's missa in order to completely be mechaper. There's also an explanation. I think the Tosfos Yom Kippurim says that's why also the Novi uses the expression "Meniglo v'oznoi." It was revealed in my ears, because this is not something that the average person would realize that this constitutes a chilul Hashem. But the Novi is being told that kind of thing to ignore what the Neviim are saying and think I can do whatever I want. The Novi is being informed specifically by Hashem. This is a chilul Hashem, and therefore you have what it says in the rest of the pasuk that's going to be needed in order to clean that up. Okay, Yom Yom Mashiach Ha'Gola, Chavav Tevis. We have to influence Bnei Noach to be involved with Tzedakah. We see that nowadays it's much easier to influence everybody as far as Tzedakah, both as far as Goyim and Lahavdil as far as Jews. In fact, you have a whole discussion in Sfarim about what exactly is the nature of the Chiyuv of Bnei Noach and Tzedakah. It's not one of their Sheva Mitzvahs, but there is discussion about that they are required in it. One thing he doesn't bring over here, but for example, one of the points that's brought up in that connection, Sdoim, we know where Sdoim and the other cities were condemned for failure to give tzedakah. How could they be? If it's not one of the requirements, therefore that itself is mashma, that they have a requirement to give tzedakah. Anyway, we have also, there's the whole discussion that Gemara has in Bava Basra, on the pasuk Chesed La'umim Chatos, where various Tanoim explain over there that it means that when the Goyim do Chesed, it's a Chatos because they're doing it only in order to pride themselves or in order to put us down or whatever. The Gemara brings several opinions over there, and then it finishes off with what Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai says, that it means in a positive sense, the same way as a Chatos is Mechaper for Jewish people, so is Tzedakah Mechaper for Umas Olam. So therefore, we have to influence them to have that kind of Kapara by giving Tzedakah. It can be both. I mean, to a certain extent, you have a din that if you have a din, for example, if a goy gives tzedakah to Jews, ideally that tzedakah, if a goy gives tzedakah, for example, to a Jewish tzedakah fund or to a rav or whatever, ideally it should be given out to goyim. The Gemara discusses there's a whole sugya about it in Bava Basra. So yeah. Okay. Onward with dinim of kiddush. We were talking about the dinim of kiddush so far. So the chalas, as we know, have to be covered during kiddush. Even if you're actually making kiddush on challah, they should still be covered as a zecher for the mon, as we learned a couple of weeks ago when we had the sugya about the mon here in Yuma. And incidentally, it's not just the chalas; other kinds of mezonis as well on the table should also be covered during kiddush.
Yeah.
Okay. Rabbanan min akasha matzor kodesh baruch hu zakeh.